Welcome
to the Local Economic Development Podcast,
hosted by Sean Cunningham
and Jörg Meyerstam.
For other programs in this series,
please have a look at www.ledcast.net.
In today's show, we're going to compare LED in industrialized countries to LED in developing countries. Jörg, why don't you start off by explaining why LED is so different in industrialized countries?
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious, actually. I mean, think about it. When did you first hear about local economic development in South Africa?
Well, I'm more or less in 2002.
Okay. And I think there
But that's me.
All right. I recall a couple of policy documents that came out in the second half of the 1990s, and a couple of people thought about it in the second half of the 1990s. Close to where I live, in the Ruhr, there was this period in the late 1950s when the first coal mines started to shut down. And that was when local governments started to get seriously interested in economic development and started to look out for alternative economic development options. When, for instance, in two cities, they started with projects to attract major car assembly plants, which was one of the very early movements in local economic development. So that was, as I said, in the late 1950s.
Okay, but that is a very long time ago.
Yeah, that's right.
So what is the result of all of that?
Well, when you look back at it, what you typically see is that there has been this long evolution of local economic development. It sometimes started, actually it often started with local government trying to address businesses' needs in terms of infrastructure and in terms of real estate, like in those places where businesses were doing pretty well. There was very often a scarcity of developed land that was available for industries, for businesses. And local government very often started getting involved in economic development from that angle. In other places, like those two that I just mentioned, it already started by trying to attract external investors, be it domestic companies or foreign companies. And those are pretty much the roots of local economic development, I think, in many, if not most, industrialized countries.
Okay, so there's a lot of experience and a lot of institutional memory that's been built up around the development of local economies.
That's right, yes. As a matter of fact, when you look at it, there's layers and layers of policies, of practices, of organizations that have been accumulated over the past decades.
I always find it so interesting that the development agencies in a country like Germany are competing, where in South Africa we are trying to get everybody coordinated and aligned.
Yeah, I'm not entirely convinced that competition is the answer. But in fact, there are sometimes situations where I think, well, it's not that bad that they compete to some extent, at least to the extent that it generates creativity and innovative solutions.
Okay, but if one compare what you have in a developed country, then in an industrial country, to what we have in Africa or what we've seen in Asia, it sounds like it's really difficult to draw conclusions from industrial countries to developing countries.
I think one of the big differences and one of the points that we often don't consider is that the situation when you need to start something from scratch is very different from a situation where something has gone on for a long time and you just want to adjust it or want to introduce some new approach or something like that. So when you send somebody to Europe to learn from our experience, it's really, really difficult to find somebody who can tell the story how it all started, because those guys are at least retired, if not demised.
That relates to our previous podcast where we looked at the different regions. And I think what you've just mentioned or described now is kind of places where you're oiling the gears and not trying to build a new machine.
Well, I think it's both. This, what I just said, this approach to look at real estate development, making business estates available, that is something what you typically do in a location where economic development is doing pretty well, where the economy goes very well. Whereas attracting external investors is something that is very often a response by a location that is going down.
Yes, okay. Well, why don't we take a look at some of the points that makes it so difficult to compare LED in these different places? Specifically, maybe starting with the difficulty of starting up new things, because I'm sure that in industrial countries, there's also still new LED activities starting up every day.
That's right, yeah. I think one of the major distinctions, one of the major differences is that in industrialized countries, there is maybe a little bit more credibility as far as government standing, government's prestige in the private sector is concerned. If you have a long practice of local economic development, private sector is not entirely surprised when government all of a sudden comes up with some economic development initiative.
Okay, and governments, they also have a much longer history of running society or managing the economy or predicting the demands of business.
As a matter of fact, they do, yeah. There's a lot of skills available. There's a whole body of organizations, of research institutions. There's communities of practice that involve people from different places where a lot of reflection and a lot of organized learning is going on.
Okay, so government's got more credibility. Let's maybe also look at the difference between regions. In developing countries, we don't have as much rivalry between regions, and countries have not been so integrated into the global world as in industrial countries.
Yeah, right. That's also true. I mean, the one thing that is very visible in Europe is that you have, well, very strong rivalry, not just among neighboring towns or neighboring regions, but also across borders. So when you go anywhere in Germany, they will typically tell you that people in the Netherlands or in France or in Austria or these days in Poland and the Czech Republic are better at that and better at that. And they try to upgrade their own practice to compete with those guys.
Okay, so there's more awareness of global trends or global competitiveness?
Well, there's a lot of integration that has gone on between among countries ever since the initially, the European Economic Community and then the European Union has existed. So especially in Europe, you find these days that for companies, but also for other actors, it's very natural to look at the European level and to interact at the European level with people from different countries. And I think the same to some extent starts to be true in North America with NAFTA and the integration of Canada, the United States, and Mexico.
In developing countries, we are often still trying to get to grips with globalization. And then one sometimes gets the feeling that governments and unions and even business is not yet sure whether they want globalization, whether they see it as a blessing or a curse. It's as if there's a tremendous local focus. What is different between this and what's happening in the industrial world?
I think the main difference really is that in industrialized countries, you have this much longer tradition and this much longer experience of interacting with other countries. And from the business side, doing business in a couple of countries. I mean, for European companies, it has always been a fantastic training ground to be able to do business in Denmark or in France or in Spain or in the United Kingdom, which are, have different cultures, different languages, different business practices and all that. So that companies in Europe are definitely much more familiar with operations at an international scale and are thus, well, better prepared to operate in a globalized economy. And to some extent, the same is true with practitioners like, well, local economic development people who tend to interact at least at a European level and to some extent at the level of the OECD, where you have a very active community of practice of territorial development people from all over the world, essentially, especially North America, Europe, and to some extent Japan and Korea.
Isn't there also something to be said about the history of industrial countries by now, after 100 or more years of being in industrial, that there's more of a history of being in business or in production or in government, where in many countries, in the southern hemisphere at least, there's a history and a legacy of agricultural-based activities or extractive industries?
That's an interesting point. There's two ways you could respond to that, or one could comment on that. The one point is to say, well, those places that started with industrialization much earlier also are entering into decline much earlier. So you find many more places, many more regions that have entered into a decline in industrialized countries than in developing countries and emerging countries. The other point, though, is something that is a little bit more speculative, and that is, a history of active intervention, of active policy efforts to shape industrial development. And that's actually, I think it's a very stimulating point to speculate about, but I hesitate to do that now because I might just get carried away.
Now, the question that is on my mind, Jörg, is that, okay, so it took a long time in industrial countries, and one can see that it's still going on. It's an ongoing process. But it just feels like we don't have this much time in the developing countries. And a lot of this pressure is self-imposed through the Millennium Development Goals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But really, how long do we have, and how long is it going to take?
Yeah. Well, I think there's, of course, a huge opportunity for latecomer countries to learn from the experiences of other countries. I mean, in industrialized countries, there is a lot of learning and doing and trial and error that has been going on. And I think it's definitely a good idea for people in developing countries to assess those experiences and to try to make out what is good practice and what is not so good practice. So, for instance, the confusions you typically have between social objectives in local economic development and competitiveness objectives in local economic development. That is something that took many industrialized countries a long time to work out. So developing countries definitely can take a shortcut there and learn from our mistakes and organize that in a very consistent way much quicker than we did. And probably there's a couple of other activities or other fields where you could have a lot of very useful learning. And I think to some extent it's going on when you look, for instance, at the swiftness with which approaches like cluster development have been disseminated in developing countries.
Maybe another interesting point to mention is that in South Africa now, the Department of Provincial and Local Government's LED framework actually as one of its major activities is saying that we should build the credibility of local government as a first step in LED. So maybe there's already a little bit of learning relating to that.
Yeah, right.
Okay, Jörg, that was a very interesting discussion today. I hope that many of our listeners would be fortunate enough to also be able to travel to Europe or to other industrialized countries to take a look at what's going on in LED there. I certainly enjoyed my trips there. Do you have any closing remarks for our listeners?
Well, I think the important point is whenever you take a trip like that, to make sure that you can interact with people who know the different realities. What I've often found is that when you visit somebody, you take a group to visit an LED practitioner somewhere in Europe, and you ask that person, well, what are you doing? Then the response is mostly, well, what am I doing today? And what is the things that bother me today? Which is not exactly what the visitors from abroad want to know. They want to know, well, how did you get into this field? How has your thinking evolved over the past 10 years or 20 years? And for practitioners in Europe, it's often not so easy to understand that. Whereas those people who have been working both in Europe and on other continents, I think for them it's much easier to see the different realities and to address their experience and to frame their own experience and the local practice in Europe in a way that is relevant for practitioners from abroad.
Well, I think that's it for today. Please visit our website and send us any comments or ideas. You can find our contact details on the site. It's at www.ledcast.net. And we look forward to having a discussion again next week.